Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
We are getting into our conversation where we are going to be pursuing our GROW model as we did yesterday. We began on a very, very strong note. My producer has out. I can tell you now, every time I think of how she introduced our conversation yesterday, it still blows my mind. Today, we're continuing with the idea of free will, God, sovereignty, and the scandal of choice. Why would an all-knowing, all-loving God give us the ability to choose evil, though? Why would he allow betrayal, hatred, and destruction to grow in the soil of free will? It's a divine scandal, some would argue. God gives freedom, knowing it could and would break the world? What? Today we wrestle with the tension between a sovereign God and a reckless humanity. Joining me now is our guest, Elder Dennis Chisenga, to give us some perspective on this exactly. Elder, good afternoon to you. Welcome back, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon to you, and thank you so much.
Did God create free will out of love, or did he take a divine risk for a relationship?
I'll begin by saying God didn't create free will as a loophole in his sovereignty. Actually, he created it as a foundation for love. So love without choice, which is a free will, is manipulation. So if humans were programmed to just obey God, it wouldn't be love. It would be automation. Then when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life. So from this verse, we clearly see that God's desire for relationship is rooted in freedom. But again, this freedom of free will, by design, it carries risk in itself. So the biblical narrative about freedom, free will, and the relationship which God brought in begins with Adam and Eve. These two were not robots in Eden. Were lovers with agents. So God would have created flawless obedience, but he chose the fragile path of love. So to just answer the question in a nutshell, did God create free will out of love? Yes, he created it out of love. And again, love requires risk. So the takeaway from this is that God did not gamble with humanity's faith. He invested in authentic relationship, and free will is a love offering, not a loophole in control. Sure.
Mfundisi, if God knew Adam and Eve would fall, why would a loving God plant the tree in the first place?
Yes. You know, this question actually, it strikes at the heart of divine logic. If God is all-knowing, why not avoid the mess altogether? The tree of knowledge of good and evil was not a trap. It was actually a symbol of freedom. So without real choice, and without obedience, we can totally say free will is meaningless if there's no choice, if there's no obedience. So the tree made love and loyalty possible by offering the alternative of disobedience. So God knew that humanity would fall, but he also knew that through Jesus, they would rise. And we go to Revelation 13, verse 8, which refers to Christ as the lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world. So in other words, God's redemptive plan was not an afterthought. It was built into the blueprint of God. So why he planted the tree, it wasn't proof of a careless God. It was proof of a loving one, that God allows moral freedom because he cannot force his obedience on us and his divine love on us. We must choose. So that's why the tree was there as a symbol to test our loyalty and to give us an allowance to choose, to exercise our free will.
We call it freedom, Fundisa, but then again, once you choose wrong, God says, if you choose wrong, I'm going to kill you. I'm not quite sure if it's still freedom, if there's going to be punishment for choosing wrongly, choosing against him. God is going to burn you in hell. Of course, I understand we call it consequences, but the true question is, can freedom really exist if consequences are there and they're eternal?
When we talk about the idea of freedom, freedom does not mean freedom from consequences. It means freedom to choose, knowing that choices have weight. So even in human law, we distinguish between freedom to act and the responsibility to face the result. But when we come to the spiritual law is also not different. Galatians 6 verse 7 actually reminds us that do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man reaps, so he shall sow. And when you come from a psychological standpoint, people thrive when they know their actions matter. So meaningless choices lead to up. So eternal consequences actually imbue life with purpose. It means you think about, like what we were talking about yesterday, where there are those choices where you need to be thinking about them. And that gives you an allowance to exercise your freedom because you've thought about what you are talking about. So if we think of heaven and hell, not just as a destination, but as the trajectories, then it would help us. For example, C.S. Lewis, he wrote that the doors of hell are locked on the inside. So eternal destiny is the fulfillment of actually repented choices over time. So the takeaway is that consequences do not cancel freedom, they confirm it. So freedom is only meaningful if choices have real and lasting outcomes. Sure.
So we call it love, and I always teach my sons that when you say you love somebody, you say you love mommy, you must be able to allow mommy to leave you at school and she goes wherever she... You can't say you love mommy and you don't want mommy to leave. You always want mommy to be here. Love must be able to allow people to walk away, to reject you if they reject you. Surely that is love. But then again, here in this case, we have a God who, when you reject him, he sends you to hell. He punishes you with sulfuric fire. He burns you. Is it still love if there is no option to reject this God?
Yeah, those are really good questions, which I'm pretty sure people are struggling to try to understand. Well, love is only real when rejection is also possible. So anything else apart from that is programming. It's more like a computer. I would give an example. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, he wasn't chained at home. He left. He failed. But the father's love, it still waited. So that love was free, and so was the son's urgency. So even God, he does not impose love. And that's what Revelation 3 verse 20 actually.
But God says, God says, choose me and live. If you reject me, if you disobey me, you will die. That's what he says in Deuteronomy as well. I'm not quite sure, Mfundisi, if it is still a choice, if it's choice between life and death. I mean, I must be able to say, I don't want you. I want the other God. I don't want to worship Yahweh. I want to worship Baal. And not be killed by Yahweh because I have rejected Yahweh. We have today men who, when they love a woman and a woman rejects them, they go and kill them. That's very bad. There's no way when somebody loves you, then they would hurt you if you don't choose them. That's what we're trying to understand. If God gives you a choice to be with him and live, if you're not with him, you die. We need some clarity there. Is it really love if we don't have the option to reject God and still live?
Well, because God is the creator of everything, and he is looking for making this place where we live in to be a blissful place, to be as it's supposed to, there are consequences, like we mentioned before, earlier on, to say there are consequences. So if we do not choose him, we want to move on our own way. God will respect our choice. But those choices have consequences. And the consequence is that the wages of sin is death, which is rejecting God. We reject life, then it means we are choosing death. So consequences really matter. So choosing of freedom does not eliminate us not getting the reward of the rejection which we have. So it is love that God will allow us to move in our own direction. But we must remember that that direction has its own consequences. And that is the hell which we are talking about and the like. Because God cannot again make us to suffer who have chosen him, or because others have chosen wrong. So those who've chosen wrong, there's the reward which they'll have. And those who choose what is right, there's a reward. And that's what we were talking about yesterday, where we talked about the behavioral system, to say behavior is maintained by either reward or punishment. So in us choosing what we need to choose, we must be so careful, because in the end, we may think we are choosing what is right when actually we are leading ourselves into loss. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Let me give you my final question, Mfundisi, and then I'll let you go. I understand we have kept you long enough. When we are talking about this idea of free will, is it possible that God's greatest gift, this free will, is also his greatest heartbreak? Maybe he caused himself harm. In my language, we say imela ikobele sandlin, you know, those knives that bend. And sometimes you are using it and it bends and it cuts you while you are trying to cut the meat. We say imela ikobele sandlin. Is it possible that perhaps while he was trying to deal with something else, as you're trying to explain right now, that very same free will ended up becoming his greatest heartbreak?
Indeed, actually, what you've said in the very question, that's the very answer. Free will is actually the gift that costed God the most, but he offered it to me. And because real love, that's what it always does. There's that risk, even in human relationship. When you vow to be with this person till death do you apart, there's a risk that you get hurt, you be injured, but because you love that person, you still be with them. So like it is when we read in John 11:35, where it says Jesus wept. So God grieves when we misuse this very freedom which he gave us, which is to love him. So the cross actually bears an ultimate example where humanity used its freedom to crucify the author of life, and yet from that act of rejection we receive our redemption.
Wow.
So there's really God's heart was in for it, in order for us to be redeemed as man.
Right. Okay, got it. Thank you very much, Elder. We really appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your insights. We're doing this every day until the end of the week. Have a wonderful day, Furthermda. Right, Elder Dennis Chisenga talking to us on the free will that we've been given by God. And today we're focusing on this idea of God, sovereignty, and the scandal of choice. I love these topics, just the way they're phrased, the scandal of free will.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.